On a journey with me and to discuss politics, religion, current events, and history as we uncover the truth that is hidden in plain sight. I am Jeremy from Kentucky, your host, and tonight we have a guest co-host. You will know him from National Bugle. He is the Batman to my Robin, the Lone Ranger to my Tonto, the Starsky to my Hutch, political science, mild-mannered professor during the day, and vigilante crime-fighting person at night. Ladies and gentlemen,
Dr. Is going. Thank you, Kemosabe.
Dr. Patrick Slattery, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It was an honor last night to be the first caller to your show. I was glad that happened, and I'm very honored to be the first guest. So thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, tonight we have a full plate. We're going to discuss the Electoral College and maybe some riots in Philadelphia. But first, we got to do some shilling, because I am most illin when I'm rhyming and I'm shilling. We need to send money to RBN. Your donations count. Go to the republicbroadcasting.org, upper left-hand corner, click the menu. You will see a donate button. Smash said donate button. And you'll see many ways to donate. You can call in, give them a credit card number. You can mail it in to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. So please give money. We need to keep free speech alive. And Patrick, I've got an article that I sent you on the Electoral College. Now, I pulled it up and read through it a bit. The first half of the article sort of explains the Electoral College. The overall, it's from The Guardian. The overall, it's kind of a hit piece on the Electoral College and how Biden's going to have an uphill battle in winning it. So if you would, I know that you are an expert in this field, instead of reading through the article and boring the audience with someone else's print, could you explain to us, just in a nutshell, how the Electoral College works, and then maybe kick it back to me, and I'll focus on some of the highlights of how the article is biased. Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and the article is written in for a British audience. This is a British newspaper, and so I guess a lot of people don't really know how the Electoral College works, and maybe. Sometimes maybe I can't even see the forest for the trees because I get so much into the details. But the Electoral College was set up, and I guess if you read the Federalist Papers, which I really haven't, you could probably get a lot of the ideas that went into it. There are a few compromises that go into it, but it's an indirect system of electing the president. And honestly, if you look around the world at elections, places where leaders of countries are elected, it's only been pretty recently that you had direct elections for national leaders. Typically, I mean, the United States used the Electoral College, and countries like Britain, they have a parliament, and the parliament elects the prime minister. So it's not as if somebody in Manchester or Liverpool or You know, Glasgow is voting for Boris Johnson. They didn't vote for him. Only the people in Boris Johnson's own district voted for him. And but the parliament voted for him. Okay, so the Electoral College, just in a nutshell, the various states hold elections the way it works now. The way it's worked during our lifetime is the various states hold elections every 4 years on the first Tuesday after the first Monday of November. And in almost all the states, whichever candidate gets the plurality of votes from the voters in that state, that candidate's slate of electors becomes elected, and then they meet on typically the, I believe it's the 15th, it can, maybe depending on the day of the week, it could be the 14th. I think this year is the 14th of December, and they cast their votes, and the Electoral College votes in our lifetime has been what determines the president. Now, if you actually go back, and that's the way it's worked, okay? So just to reiterate, regular people vote on this year, November 3rd, and the idea is they would elect a slate of electors, which in all but two states is winner-take-all. Maine and Nebraska have a slightly different system where winner takes two, because you get an elector, you get one elector for every member of the House of Representatives that state has, plus one elector for each senator. Every state has two senators. And so the November 3rd vote would determine, in most states, winner take all, the slate of electors. And then the December 14th vote, those electors would vote for, presumably for Trump or Biden. Some states they can actually vote for anybody, and occasionally they do defect, and we can talk about that later. And then those votes get counted on January 6th by the House of by a joint session of Congress being presided over by the vice president. So that's how it works. And just when the Constitution was drafted, it was assumed that the states, the electors, probably the electors in Pennsylvania, they might want to vote for a Pennsylvanian, and the electors in New Jersey, they might vote for a New Jerseyan, and you'd get a bunch of people with different votes, because political parties didn't exist yet when the Constitution was being written. And so you might often have it so there's a whole bunch of people, nobody's got a majority, and then the Congress would select among the way it currently is now is the leading three candidates. The leading three candidates, the Congress would select amongst them. That's how it was assumed it would work. It's only twice that the House of Representatives, it's only twice that the House of Representatives has selected the president. Every other election, you've had some candidate getting a majority of the electoral votes. So I hope I clarified things and didn't confuse things. So I'll kick it back to you, Jeremy.
Well, I'm just a working class guy. I came in from a 12-hour day and cracked a beer and had a little bit of stew. Let me see if I understand your assessment for maybe some of the more regular guys out there and gals. So it's not determined by popular vote, because otherwise California and New York would determine elections. This is a system wherein each state has an equal opportunity to participate in the election. Did that summarize it pretty good?
What were the compromises back then with the Electoral College? There is some element of that. Had it been there's another problem with the popular vote, though, but the problem you're raising with the popular vote, back then it wouldn't have been California and Texas. It would have been Virginia and I think Virginia and New York, or Virginia and Pennsylvania. Virginia was the biggest state, and then I guess maybe New York was the second biggest, and Pennsylvania the third, or vice versa. But there was by doing it this way, it did give the small states, like say Delaware or New Hampshire, it gave them a boost, because they were, while the number of seats in the House of Representatives is based on population, every state had the two senators. And so it gave the small states a boost in that that they would at least get those two extra votes, not based on their population. They'd get those two extra electoral votes. And so it did kind of water down the power of the big states. But one other issue that people don't talk about, but is really important and mattered a lot in the early days of our republic, was that different states had different requirements for the franchise, different requirements for being able to vote. And early on, the first few elections, women could vote in some states. I can't remember exactly which. I'm pretty sure women were voting in New Jersey. Some of the states, I think in the Northeast, had very liberal, so to speak, franchises, where you had women voting, you had blacks voting, you had men without property voting. So some of the states had very liberal franchises, others had more restrictive ones, where women didn't vote, blacks didn't vote, white men without property didn't vote. South Carolina had, I believe, the strictest requirements, and I think New Jersey or New Hampshire, one of the states in the Northeast, had the most liberal open franchises. So there's that, and of course, if you fast forward to today, some states are pretty careful about who they let vote. Others let, convicted felons vote. Some states seem to let illegal aliens vote, or foreigners, and even dead people. And so if you didn't have the Electoral College, you could have a state that would just allow for a whole bunch of corruption, a whole bunch of fraudulent votes. And the way it is now, a whole bunch of fraudulent votes isn't going to increase that state's influence in the presidential election. But if you had a nationwide popular vote, you could have California or whatever state just stuffing the ballot box with fraudulent votes, votes of dead people, people voting twice or three times, and that would increase that state's power. So that's actually a very important issue. And it, unless you were to have national standards for elections, and elections run nationally by the federal government, which we don't have and we never have had, a popular vote would really be unworkable.
Well, I've heard that being talked about, national standards, and I can see now with this explanation why the left, as we want to call them, would want to abolish the Electoral College, because they want all of the their illegals, felons and whatnot, to be able to vote. They really want a popular vote to determine the election. Fast forwarding through the article, I'm just going to highlight a few things here. It says, who does it favor? Experts have warned that after returning two presidents that got fewer votes than their opponents since 2000, the Electoral College is flawed. This is according to the Guardian article. In 2000, Al Gore won over 500,000 more votes than Bush. Yet Bush became president after winning Florida by just 537 votes. In all, the U.S. has had five presidents who lost the overall popular vote but won the election. So I remember the 2000 election very vaguely. I was not into politics very much at the time, but I remember the contesting that was going on. We didn't know who was president for maybe a couple of months. Yeah, a month, 6 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was about at least until mid-December, and the Supreme Court did their ruling, and that more or less decided it. And that would have been right around maybe the 13th of December or so. So it was a good five to 6 weeks. Yeah.
And so we do have Amy Barrett recently confirmed, and supposedly we have a majority of conservatives on SCOTUS. So I think that may play a part. Let me go on with the article. Did you have a comment on that before I go on?
Yeah, and the ever since the 2000 election, like the drive to abolish the Electoral College really goes back to that. I remember I was a delegate at a state convention, a state Democratic convention, back in the 80s, and I actually was nominated as a Democratic elector. I withdrew my name from nomination and gave a little speech about how the Electoral College should be abolished, because that's where my head was at. And it wasn't because I thought it was, I can't even remember. I should go back one of these days and look at, because I had printed up something and handed it out to people. I had some sort of logic, and honestly, I don't even remember what my logic was at the time. But the Democrats, they had, everybody had just had a completely blank face. It was absolutely not on anybody's agenda in the 1980s. But in 2000, as a result of the Bush-Gore election, all of a sudden the Democrats thought, oh, the Electoral College, it's it works against us. It's somehow structurally against us, which isn't true. It does slightly favor small states, you know, states with small populations over states with large populations. That's true. But the two biggest states, one is California, which is clearly Democratic, and the other is Texas, which has been Republican. It may flip because of immigration at some point, but it's in past elections, it's been very Republican. You look at the small states. Okay, well, you've got a few states in the northern plain states, like the Dakotas or Wyoming. They have small populations, but so do some of these very, very liberal states on the East Coast, like Vermont or Delaware. So it really doesn't favor one party over the other. And, you know, if you look at the 2004 election, Bush beat Kerry by 3 million popular votes. He beat Kerry by 3 million popular votes. But if you had simply moved about, I think it was like, I don't know, 20, 30,000 votes in Ohio, just a pretty small number of votes in Ohio. If they had moved from Bush to Kerry, and there was a recount in Ohio, by the way, that would have flipped the election to Kerry. Kerry would have won the election if he had carried Ohio. He would have won the election as a Democrat, but lost by 3 million by 3 million popular votes. And you know, last election there were predictions that Trump was going to win the popular vote, and but Hillary would still win the election because of the Democratic lock on the electoral vote. That there were lots of articles about that 4 years ago, and honestly, because we know how fraudulent a lot of the votes are in some of these big Democratic states, like Los Angeles, I'm sorry, like California, New York, or Illinois, which are famously corrupt, it's possible that Trump actually did win the popular vote. It's hard to say.
And that the article does speak of the 2016 election. Let me read just a little further. At the moment, this is from The Guardian, the Electoral College favors Republicans because of the way Republican votes are distributed across the country. They are more likely to occur in states that are closely divided between the parties. Under the winner-takes-all system, the margin of victory in the state becomes irrelevant. In 2016, substantial margins in states such as California and New York failed to earn enough electoral votes, while close races in the battleground states of Pennsylvania and Michigan took Trump over the 2 majority. We're going to come back and discuss that after the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shine.
This is RBN in plain sight, and we were discussing the Electoral College, this Guardian article that is pretty much a hit piece on the Electoral College. Let me reread the paragraph that I was into before the break caught us. It says that at the moment, the Electoral College favors Republicans because of the way Republican votes are distributed across the country. They are more likely to occur in states that are closely divided between the parties. Under the winner-takes-all system, the margin of victory in a state becomes irrelevant. In 2016, Clinton's substantial margins in states such as California and New York failed to earn her enough electoral votes, while close races in the battleground states of Pennsylvania and Michigan took Trump over the 270 majority. So, Patrick, your comments on that. Did we lose you, Patrick? Basically, in 2016...
Boomer time. Boomer mute.
Go ahead and comment on that if you heard it.
Yeah, so the Electoral College right now kind of favors the Republicans only because California and New York are so heavily Democratic. And so there's what you would consider a whole lot of wasted votes in California and New York. But, you know, these things, they change. They are not cemented permanently. And what the Democrats are trying to do is make a permanent change based on a very, very short-term calculation. In my lifetime, most of my lifetime, the California's had Republican governors. They had Republican governors most of the time. You know, between Ronald Reagan's election in, 1966, between Ronald Reagan's election in 1966 and Jerry Brown's second, or I guess his third election, but his second stint in office in, when would that be, 2010? There was only one Democratic governor, well, I guess two. There was Jerry Brown had been Democratic governor in the 70s and early 80s, and then there was this guy Gray Davis for a couple of years until he was removed by a vote of recall. But the rest of the time, you had four two-term Republican governors, and that lasted until 2010. I guess until January 2011. So there was no Democratic lock on California. Right now there is, and they've got a huge number of excess Democratic votes there. And, you know, the same for New York. New York had Republican governor recently, George Pataki. And when 9/11 happened, George Pataki was the governor of New York. They had a Republican mayor in New York City, Rudy Giuliani. So the idea that these states are permanently blue or permanently red doesn't really necessarily hold up. I hope that answered the question. Did I go askew or was I on target?
Yeah, you're on target for me. Yeah. I'm just reading ahead in the article here. In 2016, Trump won six states. These were states where the electoral votes, it says the election played out in a handful of key battlegrounds. So these battleground states, Florida, mm-hmm. Iowa, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And Trump added 99 electoral votes to his total. The demographics of these states differ from the national average. They're older. They have more white voters without college degrees and often have smaller non-white populations. These characteristics generally favor Republicans and have made up the base of Trump's votes in 2016. For example, 67% of non-college educated white people voted for Trump in 2016. In all six swing states, this demographic is overrepresented by at least 6 percentage points more than the national average. So
Trump won close states. There are states that are currently very close or evenly divided, and you know, you could say he was lucky he won them. He did identify them correctly, and these campaigns have to, you know, they have finite resources, and in Trump's case, more than money, the big thing is Trump's rallies, and there's only one Trump. Nobody wants to go to a Pence rally. And he and his staff correctly identified Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Michigan as being winnable for them. And, you know, they were able to win those as well as Ohio and Florida, which are two other big states that are pretty key.
Well, we're coming up on the break. We're going to take calls in the next half hour here at In Plain Sight on publicbroadcasting.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We've been discussing the Electoral College and how it's going to affect Joe Biden. Now, pretty much this article from The Guardian is a hit piece on the Electoral College because they know that Biden's probably not going to win. We were discussing how the Electoral College works, how Trump won in 2016. Now, I know we have riots in Philadelphia because a good boy was murdered. He was a good boy. He didn't do nothing. And we might cover that later. If you want to weigh in on this discussion, please call in 512-248-8252 to join in the discussion. But before we get to the riots, we've got this Electoral College situation, Patrick, and when this is contended, and we know that it will be contended, the Supreme Court's going to play a key role. We just had Amy Barrett confirmed. So give us a little insight on how this could play out. When it's contested, and what role will the Supreme Court play?
Okay, well, so it could play a very important role, and the Supreme Court played a decisive role in 2000. Now, that doesn't mean that the Supreme Court is designed to get the last word. It's not. It actually, in terms of the Constitution and how the Constitution lays out the presidential election, the Supreme Court has no role. But it wound up inserting itself into the 2000 election because there was, you know, these recounts going on in Florida, and there were court cases. And, well, the Supreme Court is the ultimate court of appeal. It's the last court of appeal. And so state-level court cases are going to be appealed. They can find their way into the Supreme Court. And that's already happening in this election. We've already had the Supreme Court weigh in on just most recently, just, I guess, before Coney Island Baby, that's what I like to call her, but before Judge Barrett was confirmed, there was a case from Wisconsin about counting ballots that arrive after Election Day, mail-in ballots, and they ruled against it. Wisconsin was trying to allow for ballots to be counted that arrive after Election Day. But previously, they had wound up upholding by a 4-4 tie vote Pennsylvania decision, which was on something else, or maybe it was on the, I guess it was on the late election ballots too. I can't quite remember. So the Supreme Court will play a role. The final voice is supposed to be, according to the Constitution, it's the Congress that has the final voice, because Congress counts the votes, and if nobody gets a majority, then the House of Representatives takes over and elects the president. But, you know, the House of Representatives, the way it votes effectively favors the Republicans, because you think, oh, well, the House of Representatives, there's a strong Democratic majority. Well, there currently is. Let's just say the exact same relative strength of Republicans and Democrats continues after this election, because it's going to be an entirely new House of Representatives. But let's just say it's exact same breakdown, and they wound up having a vote. The House of Representatives would elect Donald Trump as president if everybody votes along party lines, because they don't vote one representative, one vote. They vote one state, one vote. That's how the Constitution has it: one state, one vote. And because so many Democratic representatives come from California and New York, and each state just gets one vote, you know, that one Republican representative from South Dakota has as many has as much a voice in determining the president, if it gets to that point, as the entire, you know, as the dozens of Democratic representatives from California put together. So there's that. But here's the thing about Amy Barrett and the significance of her nomination. We, you know, to my show today, we had people call in and weigh in on, you know, their expectations for her. And there seems to be a consensus that she probably, that Trump could have, on his list of a couple dozen people, he could have found a much better jurist. He could have found somebody who is more reliably conservative or originalist or what have you. But what I would say is, if you had selected somebody else, you may not have been able to get that person confirmed by the Senate. Even if you did get that person confirmed by the Senate, it might have taken longer, and then you wouldn't have had that person to be able to rule on these crucial cases that we're going to be seeing fast and furious over the next few weeks. We're going to see a lot of cases. They may well be decisive. And because remember, all it would take would be for you got Susan Collins, you got Murkowski, Yet Mitt Romney, all of them had originally expressed reluctance to confirm a judge. But because Amy Coney Island Barrett was so, she was so, I don't know, acceptable. You also got Ben Sasse. These people would love to defect, but they couldn't defect because Judge Barrett she just seemed so nice. There wasn't anything to get outraged about, and so they had to go along with it. And so now she's sitting on the court. You very well might have been able to get somebody who in the long run would be a better jurist, but if they didn't get on the bench before these electoral college, these electoral college cases come before the Supreme Court, well, then you might wind up with a Biden presidency, which would pack the court and make that better conservative jurist completely irrelevant. So that's my take. And I did play Coney Island Baby this morning to congratulate Amy Barrett, and I stand by that call.
And I enjoyed that song. Yeah, so, Barrett's confirmation, I mean, this is all very strategic. You have to nominate somebody that's confirmable. And you had two things playing in Trump's favor here just in the last couple of weeks. You can call it luck or divine intervention. I go with divine intervention. But you had the death of the notorious RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, allowing Trump to select SCOTUS. And then you had the Hunter Biden laptop that come out. So these are two things that are going to totally flip the tables in Trump's favor, to discredit Biden with the laptop issue and he had to pick someone who he knew would get confirmed and that it wouldn't be this long drawn out process so that he would at least conceivably have the Supreme Court on his side. So, yeah, I think that's where we're at, and I think you articulated that very well.
Well, thank you. These are two very fortuitous things. I have the feeling, and maybe this is just wishful thinking, I'd like to think that pretty much everybody has at least an ounce of decency. Maybe not the Clintons, but maybe everybody else on Earth probably has an ounce of decency. And even if Biden doesn't have an ounce of decency, let's just say he's pure Clinton inside. Inside he's pure Clinton, but he's clearly lost the election, and you've got all this focus on the massive scandals, business, personal, sexual, and he's old, and he knows even if he's inaugurated, they're just going to kick him to the side. Do you think that there's a possibility maybe this is just my wishful thinking, but there's a possibility he might just say, something? I'll have a better legacy and a lot less headache if I just concede. I'll go down in history as a gracious loser rather than, whatever. What do you think?
It could be, or they could have even more dirt on he and his family, or they're pushing him to, keep in the running. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Pure speculation, but... at any rate, we have riots going on in Philadelphia, and these riots, if I understand right, were from a young black man who had some mental disorders who attacked the cops, and he was shot. It's almost like reading the regular news, right? It's almost like saying, Miss Smith went to the grocery today and she bought these groceries. To say that, a young black individual committed an act of violence or resisted arrest and was shot, that's becoming commonplace for us. And the riots are becoming commonplace. And I don't like that because ever since Floyd, this has been going on. It's sort of the new normal, isn't it? That we get a young black person killed who, and the circumstances are questionable. And then the police are called, the police end up shooting this individual, they die, and people riot and loot. I hope this isn't the new normal, but I think the American people are kind of feeling the way that I'm feeling, like, oh, okay, well, there's another riot. Yeah. Okay, whatever. What's going on the telly today? we do have a caller, though. If you have a quick comment on the Philadelphia riots, interject that, and then maybe we can bring on the caller.
I tell you what, let's bring on the caller.
Let's do Harold in Central Texas. Harold, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Jeremy. And it's good to hear you here coming on at 9 o'clock. And I often listen to the other comparable Brand X station late in the evening. And I really do like RBN's lineup. And I can catch a lot of reruns during the day on another network. But listening to this tonight, it's very intriguing about this whole electoral college. And as I've probably gotten older and voted in a lot of elections over the years, I really see the value of the electoral college. And I guess my question is to you and Dr. Slattery, is there a compromise to the electoral college? I mean, if it would come up that somehow it's going to be challenged and be completely thrown out, I'm sure there would be, but is there another alternative that maybe the founding fathers had in mind if it wasn't the electoral college as we know it now?
Well, I think that is the House of Representatives vote. If nobody gets a majority, it goes to the House of Representatives. In this election, let's just say, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, or whatever, if you have enough electoral votes that wind up being disputed to the point where they're just nullified, that's when you're going to, if you have nullified electoral votes. In Bush Gore, this is just a complete asterisk to history. There was a blank vote. So there was a missing electoral vote for whatever reason. I think it was from District of Columbia. Somebody didn't vote, or I think something like that. So you could have nobody getting a majority, and then the House of Representatives gets to decide among the top three vote getters, which would presumably be Trump and Biden, and perhaps, last time, 2016, there were these faithless electors, people who didn't vote the way they were intended to vote, and three of them from Washington State, Hillary, Democratic electors, three Democratic electors voted for Colin Powell. So if it had gone to the House of Representatives to decide, they could have voted for Colin Powell. He would have been one of the three choices. Why did Democratic electors vote for Colin Powell? Well, they figured that, okay, if they can't have Hillary, at least they can stop Trump by getting all the Democrats in the House of Representatives to vote for Colin Powell, and then some cuckish Republicans vote for him, and then he wins. And so maybe some Democratic electors, some supposed Biden electors, maybe they're going to vote for Mitt Romney or somebody so that he would be a third choice.
Sure. Okay. One quick question. I know it's a little bit maybe kind of tangential, but it did it one time. I don't know when it was. Apparently it was up in the previous century that didn't the state general assemblies elect the senators? The U.S. senators.
Yeah, and in that was what up until which amendment was that? Was that the 18th or 19th amendment? I can't remember. And RBN listeners will be very disappointed that I can't remember which one it was. But that was right around the turn of the century. I can't remember the exact year, but right around 1900 plus or minus. I think maybe just after 1900. And so yeah, the state legislatures voted. They selected the senators, and up until the Civil War, some of the states, South Carolina in particular, the state legislatures selected the electors as well, because it's, the Constitution doesn't tell the states how to select the electors. And early on, it was very common for states' legislatures to select the electors. And it could happen. And in 2000, when just before the Supreme Court effectively granted the Florida electors to Bush, just before that, the Florida state legislature, which was run by Republicans, came back into session, and they were poised to disregard the popular vote and appoint a Republican slate of electors.
Life was just a 9-to-5 bills and pressure.
One caller, or all three discuss this on the other side of the break.
I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Welcome back to the show, my classy ones, to In Plain Sight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we were just discussing the Electoral College and maybe some alternatives. I want to read just another paragraph in the article about the guard.
Before you read, I just want to say something. Boy, can that squirrel water ski.
That squirrel can water ski.
Yep.
At any rate, the National Popular Vote Compact is another option in which each state would award all of its Electoral College votes in line with the national popular vote. if enough states signed up to this agreement to reach the 270 majority, the candidate who gained the most votes nationwide would always win the presidency. So educate the listeners, and actually myself, on this NPVC that the article is talking about here.
So,
and then we'll go to the end.
Yeah, well, just in a nutshell, the Constitution does not tell the states how to select their electors. It just tells them how many electors they have, and then decide how you do it. I believe somewhere in the very first couple of elections, I think governors appointed electors in a couple of states, as I mentioned, and the state legislatures appointing electors was pretty common up until about the 1820s, and South Carolina continued it up until the Civil War. And nowadays, it's the voters in the states that do it, but they don't have to. And I mentioned it in 2000 at the last moment, Florida legislature was ready to take back those powers to themselves. And you've got rumblings that this could happen in, if you have states like, I guess, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, which have, Democratic governors and I think Democratic secretaries of state who run the elections, but Republican legislatures. And so you could even see it this time. But what this compact is, instead of the legislature, well, instead of basing it on a legislature vote or basing it on a state popular vote, you've got a number of states who have pledged that if enough states enter this pledge. Right now, there's not enough states in the pledge, but if enough states enter the pledge, that they will, rather than selecting their electors based on their state popular vote, they will select their electors based on the national popular vote, effectively letting California, illegal aliens in California would be able would have just as much say in selecting New Hampshire's electors as the people in New Hampshire, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. But a number of states, not enough, but a number of states have done it. If there are enough states agree to this, that they would have, 270 electoral votes, well, this law would supposedly go into effect. The thing is, there's no guarantee that a state wouldn't at the last minute back out, even after the vote. I mean, that could happen. So... Does it sound crazy?
We will have to continue this maybe next week when you join me for Election Night live coverage here on In Plain Sight. But tomorrow on National Bugle Radio, we're going to cover the Philadelphia riots. So till next time, we'll see you tomorrow night on In Plain Sight on republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.